Okay. Well, it's Monday. It's February 20th. And we are looking at your operation of the God-given ability. And tonight we are focusing on interpretation of tongues. Last few weeks we were looking at speaking in tongues, and we covered some of this information about interpretation of tongues because it's included in the broader topic of speaking in tongues. But interpretation of tongues makes the speaking in tongues different. When it's combined with the interpretation of tongues, the speaking in tongues is no longer prayer or praise or thanksgiving. It is a message from God to the people that are present. So what I'd like to do this evening is look at the places where interpretation of tongues is mentioned, and it's only mentioned in the Epistle of 1 Corinthians, and it's mentioned in chapters 12 and 14. So there's only a few verses that really talk about it, but we want to make sure that we get all that we can out of those few verses and get the understanding of it. And then I'd like to share with you some things, what it is not, after we look at what it is, and some practical keys to operating this manifestation of the Spirit, okay? So first, the definition is the manifestation of interpretation of tongues is your operation of the God-given ability, whereby you may, in a believer's meeting, bring forth a message direct from or for God in a language of the people present, the sum and substance of that which you have just spoken forth in an unknown tongue. Okay? So all of the manifestations are going to be your operation of the God-given ability. It never operates you. Okay? Just like in speaking in tongues, it's not speaking by possession. God does not take you over. God does not make you speak. You're in control of when you speak, when you start, when you stop. You're in charge of initiating the speaking in tongues, right? It will not just happen that all of a sudden it just comes over you and you can't help but speak in tongues. You decide to do it. It's God's job what you speak when you're speaking in tongues. Now, when you speak in tongues and interpret, it will then be a message from God or for God in the language of the people present and in your language. You will understand it when you're interpreting tongues, okay? You will understand the interpretation. The tongues part, you will not understand. Even if you're going to interpret, you will not understand what you're saying when you speak in tongues, okay? It will not give you like a mental understanding of what you're saying in tongues as you're speaking in tongues. You're still going to not know the language. You're not going to know what the words are that you're speaking when you're speaking in tongues. God will give you the words to speak the interpretation. Once you're done speaking with tongues, he will give you the words as you are speaking them, not all at once. He's not going to reveal it to you all at once. He's going to give you the words as you are saying the words. You will understand the words that you speak in the interpretation because it will be in your own language. And everybody in the meeting, assuming that they all understand the same language, in our case, English, they'll understand what you're saying when you interpret tongues. They won't understand what you're saying when you're speaking in tongues, unless it's an exceptional case where someone at the meeting just happens to know the language that you're speaking. Now, through the years, I've heard of this happening a number of times. My friend Peter Blake out in Pittsburgh told me that he was at a meeting, in fact, he was running the meeting, where he had called upon this one person to speak in tongues and interpret, and she did. There happened to be at that meeting someone who studied languages, and he knew the language that the girl was speaking when she was speaking in tongues. And he said that when she spoke in tongues, he understood that, and when she gave the interpretation, it was the gist of what she had spoken in tongues. This is a rare circumstance, but it can happen, okay? But it's not the norm. But what is the norm would be that you're speaking in a believer's meeting when you're called upon to do so, not just whenever you feel like it, okay? You don't just stand up and interrupt the meeting and speak in tongues and interpret, but there'd be an appropriate time in the meeting. A lot of times it's in the beginning after we pray, but it could be in another time. It depends who's running the meeting and what they decide to do and how God works in them. But when the person speaks in tongues, again, that speaking in tongues, because that person intends to interpret, God will give the appropriate utterance where that speaking in tongues will be actually a message to the people, that when they interpret it will be addressed to the people present, as opposed to when someone speaks in tongues without interpreting, they're going to be just praying to God or giving thanks to him or making intercession, but it's going to be addressed to God. When it's not interpreted, it will be addressed to the people present when it is interpreted. Okay? Let's look at some of the places where it talks about it, and we'll cover these things as they come up. So in 1 Corinthians 12, we read the part in verses 7 through 11, where it talks about all the manifestations of the Spirit, that all of the manifestations of the Spirit are given to everyone. Okay? Verse 7 says, but the manifestation of the Spirit, talking about them collectively as a group, is given to every man to profit withal. And that to profit means each one has its own valuable contribution to the whole. And then it talks about what those contributions are, what the profitability is of each one, that what's the benefit that it's contributing. For to one, profit, benefit, contribution is given by the Spirit, the word of wisdom. Tells you what to do, gives you that counsel and advice. To another, the word of knowledge, information, truths or facts, by the same Spirit. To another benefit would be faith, where if God tells you something by word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and the instruction is to minister healing to someone or work a miracle, that would give you the believing to carry out what was just told you by word of knowledge, word of wisdom, or discerning of spirits, okay? To another benefit or profit, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. This is called the gift because it's the gift to the person receiving the healing. They're not working for it. It's given gratuitously by God by way of the person ministering, but the person who receives the healing receives it as a gift. It's not a reward. It's a gift, okay? It's not worked for. It's a gift given by God to that person. Now, to another, the working of miracles. So you might get word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, instructing you to do a miracle. And if so, God would tell you what to do, how to do it, what to say to bring it to pass. All right? We'll be looking at these as we look at all the other manifestations. To another, prophecy. And this is not the prophecy of a prophet, the office or function, gift ministry of a prophet, but every believer can prophesy to bring forth a message from or for God to the people present that will build them up. For another, discerning of spirits. God can let you know what's going on spiritually, the presence or non-presence of spirits, what kind of spirit it is, if it's an evil spirit, whether you have the go-ahead to cast it out. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. So there's a profitability of speaking in tongues by itself. It's prayer, it's praise to God, it's giving thanks well, making intercession, builds you up spiritually. And there's another benefit for interpretation of tongues, where it's going to be a message to the people present that will build them up. Very much like prophecy, but there's a different benefit to prophecy as to speaking in tongues with interpretation. When you speak in tongues and interpret, it not only edifies the hearers, but it gives that evidence of the Spirit within you, because you're speaking in a language that you don't know. So if someone's in the meeting and say they're new to the fellowship or new to the Word of God or just not fully instructed, it lets them know that this is something supernatural going on, that someone's not just reciting an edifying message, okay? That God is working in them and giving them the utterance. So it gives this evidence in the senses realm along with the message that will build them up, whereas prophecy just gives the message that builds people up. So if people are well instructed and they're familiar with this, they don't necessarily need the evidence of tongues. They just need the edification from the message, you see? So there's a different kind of profit or contribution that this makes to the whole. But all these work of that one and the self same spirit, dividing to every man severally or his own as he wills. So as the person wills to operate the God-given ability, then these things will come into evidence. And that's all it says about interpretation of tongues in 1 Corinthians 12. It includes interpretation of tongues in the group of 9 available manifestations of the Spirit and lets you know that there's a unique profit or valuable contribution that it makes when you do it. And then chapter 13 that we looked at is all of the manifestations are to be done with the love that God has given us put into our minds and shown forth towards God, Jesus Christ, everybody present. That's how the manifestations are to be done, always in love. Never to show off, never to tear down, but always in love. Now, chapter 14 gives more specific instruction regarding speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy in the church. So tonight we want to, again, focus on what it says about interpretation of tongues. And in verse 5, it mentions interpretation of tongues where it says, I would that you all spake with tongues, but rather, or with a greater emphasis, that you prophesied. Why? For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, not that he's a greater person, but what he's doing will be of a greater benefit to the rest of the people present. Okay? Greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. So this puts interpretation of tongues and prophecy on an equal level in the sense that they will both edify the church, that the church may receive edifying. To edify is to be built up, not puffed up, but built up solidly with the words that are inspired by God. So we know this about speaking in tongues with interpretation. It will edify. It won't tear down. It won't bring confusion or distress to people. That's not what it's designed to do. It's designed that the church, those that are assembled there, the believers that are assembled, may receive edifying. And then it's up for those in the group that are listening to receive that edifying. It's lambano. That means they have to take the words, listen to the words, remember the words, to be built up by the words, right? So there's an active listening involved with the receiving of that edifying or the edification. Now, there's a little discourse there on why you wouldn't want to just speak in tongues in the church without interpreting, because the content of the message is not understood by anybody else. So there would be exceptions to that. Like if someone's instructing about speaking in tongues, they might do it as an example. But as a rule, we don't have people just get up and speak in tongues and then sit down and not give the interpretation, because it doesn't help anybody. It doesn't edify anybody. The words are not understood, neither by the person speaking nor by anybody else there, unless in that rare case, they might understand the language that's being spoken. But again, that doesn't happen most of the time. So we'll go down to verse 13, where it next mentions interpretation of tongues, where it says, wherefore let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. And again, this is one of the places that we know that the person who speaks in tongues is the one that should interpret. And that when a person becomes confident in the speaking in tongues, that would be the first manifestation of the Spirit that a new believer would learn about and get used to doing in his own private prayer life. A person might stumble at first, you know, not quite understanding what it's all about, thinking I should understand what I'm saying, but I don't. But when they realize, okay, I'm not supposed to understand it, it's God giving the utterance, it's a mystery, it's a secret between me and God what's being said, but I do know that if I want to give thanks well, speaking in tongues does the job. If I want to make intercession for somebody, it does the job. It helps when I don't know what to pray as I ought to, as far as lifting things to God. So when a person realizes what it's all about, and then they start doing it, and doing it not just now and then, but every day, through the day, you can speak in tongues all day long. You can speak in tongues silently in your mind without anybody hearing it, or you can speak in tongues out loud if there's nobody else around. Say you're driving in your car, you can speak in tongues, you can sing in tongues, you can just have a ball doing it. And the more you do it, the better, because every word that you're speaking is being inspired by God, and he doesn't waste any words when God speaks. So every word that you speak is doing something, it's producing something. So when you get to the point where you're doing that all the time, then you want to get to where you feel comfortable giving the interpretation in front of the group. And it says, pray. If you speak in tongues, then pray that you may interpret. So God can help you with this. God can show you this. But it's not something that you would practice on your own when nobody's listening. Why? Because it speaks to men, edification, exhortation, and comfort, just like prophecy does, okay? You're speaking to people. You're speaking words of edification. It's not addressed to you, just an individual person, but it's addressed to a group of believers. So there could be a time where you might want to get with some other believers and have what we call a practice session, where everybody takes turns speaking in tongues and interpreting. And if that's the only purpose of the meeting, then you can do it a lot and help each other and get comfortable doing it in a small group, maybe just 3 or 4 people or something like that. And then when you build up that confidence, then you're ready to do it in front of a larger group. So you can come to that meeting saying, I want to edify everybody. I hope they call on me because I want to edify them. But you don't come with a predetermined message in your mind. You just come with a willingness to lovingly edify everybody else. You never want to plan out what you're going to say when you're speaking in tongues to interpret. You just want to speak in tongues until you'll know there will be an appropriate time to stop, and then speak those first couple of words in English that would come to your mind, or whatever language. Say if you're Spanish and you're with other Spanish people, it's going to be in Spanish, right? Assuming that there's other Spanish believers present in the group. But whatever language you're speaking, when you're done speaking in tongues, and it should only be for a short time, it shouldn't go on for half an hour, you know, it should go on for half a minute or something like that, or even less possibly. But a short time speaking in tongues, then you speak those first English words that would just be right on your tongue, and you keep speaking until the message is completed, all right? And then you're listening to the message. You're not making it up, okay? You're not deciding what to say. You know that God's giving you the words, but you're listening it as it comes out of your mouth. And as you're listening, you should recognize the edification, the exhortation or encouragement, the comfort of the words that you're speaking, because now you'll understand what these words are. The part that you're speaking in tongues before you interpret, you're not going to understand that. It doesn't give you the ability to understand the language that you're speaking, okay? But you speak in tongues and then speak those first 1 or 2 words in English and then keep going. And then God will give you the words to say until it comes to a complete thought, okay? There'd be a logical conclusion at the end. And then you should know when to stop. If you go further, it would actually be a word of prophecy that you'd start doing. Say if you're speaking tongues that long, then your interpretation should be roughly that long. It could be more or less, because it's not necessarily a word-by-word translation or a decoding of what you said in tongues. It could be a little shorter, a little longer. But if you speak in tongues this much, the interpretation shouldn't be that much, okay? If it is, that means you're going into prophecy. It's good to have an ear for the right time to stop when you're speaking in tongues and interpreting. But pray that you may interpret. Talk to God about this. If you don't want to do it, you don't have to. Nobody's going to pressure you and say you must speak in tongues and interpret. But it says, wherefore let him that speaketh in a tongue pray that he may interpret. So if you have the desire, and God certainly has the desire for you to do so, and we've read that, then talk to God and say, I would like to do this. And he can direct you, and he can also direct somebody else that has more experience to help you. All right? It's like the Apostle Paul in writing this epistle is being directed by God to give this information to the believers at Corinth. Obviously, there's reproof in this because they weren't doing everything quite right. But I'm kind of thankful that they needed the reproof because this is the only place in the whole Bible that it really tells you these things on how it's to be done. So it's a good thing that we have this. And hopefully the people in Corinth received the reproof well and made adjustments and started doing it the right way. Now, getting to what they were doing wrong and why it needed to be corrected here, look at verse 26. He said, how is it then, brethren, when ye come together? Say, this is what's going on currently. One of the reasons why this epistle, or this part of this epistle, needed to be written. When you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. Now, if it's a very small group, yeah, everybody would have the opportunity to participate and contribute something. But if it's a larger group, say you have 30, 40 people or more, and every one of them wants to sing a song, give a teaching, has a revelation that they want to share with everybody, has a tongue, has an interpretation, if everybody wants to do it, then there's confusion there. It's just too much. It says, let all things be done unto edifying. And then he gives a guideline here. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most by three, and that by course, just one at a time, not all at once, and let one interpret. Let each one interpret. Because we already saw that, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. Okay? I know that there are some churches where they'll have, say, three people speaking in tongues and another one that will give the interpretation of what the other ones are saying instead of interpreting his own. Because they understand this to mean you have two or three speak in tongues one at a time, then you have one person interpret, and they do it that way. What's actually happening is these people are just speaking in tongues. They're not interpreting themselves, so it's prayer to God. And the other person is giving like three words of prophecy. He's not really interpreting what they're saying in tongues because it tells us, let him that speaketh in a tongue pray that he may interpret, right? That's the way it's supposed to be done. Now, another thing has come up sometimes. I've been in meetings where instead of two or three speaking in tongues, there might only be one person speaking in tongues and maybe two or three people giving a word of prophecy. Because whoever's running the meeting just calls upon one person to speak in tongues and they might call on a couple of other people to prophesy. Okay? And I've heard people getting reproved for this, the leader of the meeting getting reproved saying, look, it's supposed to be two or three. Okay? Not one. Not four, but either two or three. If it's not three, it's two. If it's not two, it's three, because it says by two or at the most by three. But if I'm in a meeting and just one person is called upon to speak in tongues and interpret, and maybe two or three others are called upon to give a word of prophecy, I don't let it bother me for a second. Why? I want to receive the edifying in the messages. I'm not going to be worrying about whether they have two people doing the speaking in tongues, okay? If only one person speaks in tongues and two or three people give a word of prophecy, to me, that's fine. I'm not going to let it bother me for a minute. If I'm running the meeting, as a general rule, I will have two or three people speak in tongues and one or two people give a word of prophecy, unless God directs me otherwise, and he may, but unless he directs me otherwise, I'll just do it that way. One of the reasons I know is some people will be bothered if there's only one person speaking in tongues and interpreting because they've read this and they, oh, it's got to be two or at the most by three. The other reason I don't let it bother me is when you look at these verses together, 26 and 27, and you see that 27, it says, if any man speak in a tongue, let it by two or at the most by three, and that by course and let one interpret. It's giving reproof based on what has been going on in Corinth, right? That everybody, every one of you, has a psalm, a doctrine, a tongue, interpretation, revelation. let all things be done unto edifying, where people are doing what they're doing to show off or say, look what I can do, as opposed to having the focus on edifying. So he's putting an upward limit to it, the most by three. It doesn't say specifically it must be two and at the most by three, but let it be by two or at the most by three. Okay? Putting a limit on it so that you don't have everybody in a group of, say, 40, 50, 60 people trying to get up and do something. So someone else might see it differently. But again, if you're in a meeting and if just one person speaks in tongues and two or three people prophesy, just don't let it bother you. Listen to the message. Don't be distracted from the message. If you're running the meeting, you might consider, if you're going to have people speak in tongues and interpret, have two or three do it. Do two or three. Why would you have interpretation of tongues in some meetings and just prophecy in another? You might do that. If everyone's fully instructed, you can just have two, three, four people give a word of prophecy. But if there's people that are new, or they're just new to the fellowship and new to the Word of God and don't have the complete instruction, maybe they're not doing it yet themselves, and it's valuable for them to have the encouragement of seeing other people actually speak in tongues and interpret. You know, if it's worthwhile having one person do it, why not have two or three, you see? But again, if someone else is running the meeting, I figure God's working in them. I'm not going to get concerned about whether they're doing it exactly right. I'm just going to listen to the message, okay? Because I want to receive the edifying and not be distracted by such things. Hope that helps. And also, always one at a time, and let the one interpret. Let the one who speaks in tongues interpret. And if there be no interpreter, if the person speaking is not intending to interpret, then let him keep silence in the church and let him speak to himself and to God. He can speak in tongues silently himself without doing it out loud, and then he's speaking to himself and to God. But if he's going to do it out loud, then he should interpret. If he's not going to interpret, doesn't intend to interpret, or doesn't believe that he can, then speak in tongues silently instead of out loud. Okay? So this is all the scriptures that there are that mention interpretation of tongues. Now, what interpretation of tongues is not? It does not come to you by revelation, but by God giving you the utterance as you are speaking. And that it's important to know, God's not going to reveal to you what you're saying when you're speaking in tongues, okay? So when you're speaking in tongues, it's still a foreign language to you. You won't understand what you're saying. God does not reveal the whole message to you at one time either. It's like when you're done speaking in tongues, you don't get a revelation of the whole thing. What you do get is, as you're speaking the English words or the words that you're speaking in the language that's known to you and to everybody else, God will give you those words as you're saying them. So when you start, you don't know how the message is going to end, okay? And there's a trust factor between you and God. You've got to trust him. You can't worry about whether you're going to be doing it exactly right and what are people going to think if you mess up or if you stumble or if you say something wrong. You just have to keep your mind on edifying and the love that you have. So God's not going to reveal the whole thing to you at once. He's going to give it to you as you're speaking, okay? And then as you're speaking, it will become clear what the message is, and it should come clear to you when the message ends, okay? And then make sure you stop when you do. So it doesn't come by revelation. It comes by God giving you the utterance or the words to say as you're speaking. It does not give information that cannot be known by reading the scriptures, okay? Again, it's not revelation. It's not information that cannot be known by your five senses. You can read the Bible with your eyes or hear it with your ears. Everything that you say when you speak in tongues and interpret, same as when you prophesy, is going to be information that's really known in the Word of God. The supernatural part is God is giving you what to say from the word to the people present that they need to hear at that time. Because, you know, the Bible, it's a thick book, and you're not going to say the whole thing. Could you determine in your own mind exactly what's needed in every person's heart to bless them, build them up, courage and comfort? No. and God doesn't expect you to. He will give you the words that are needed at the time, but he's not going to give you revelation about somebody that couldn't be known, or a future event that's going to happen that couldn't be known from the scriptures. It's not revelation, it's inspiration, okay? So don't expect revelation when you're speaking in tongues and interpreting. Just a message to edify, to build up by exhorting and comforting. The message will not contradict the scriptures, okay? It might contradict somebody's understanding of the scriptures if their understanding is incorrect, but it will never contradict the scriptures themselves, okay? The message that you speak will always be in line with the scriptures, because that message and the scriptures both came from the same source, right? Both came from God. Now, God gave the scriptures to the men of God by revelation, and he's giving you the words to speak by inspiration, but they'll agree with each other, okay? They'll completely agree. Once God gave the revelation of what was written down in the scriptures, then you don't need revelation to read the scriptures. You just need eyeballs and a brain that can understand what you're reading, okay? So when you're reading the scriptures and you're getting that information in your mind and heart, God knows what you know from the scriptures. He knows what's in your heart, and he can use that base of knowledge to inspire you as far as what to speak when you speak in tongues and interpret, okay? It will never contradict the scriptures. Both came from the same source. And like I said before, it is not an understanding of the language that is being spoken while speaking in tongues, okay? It's not all of a sudden you're speaking in tongues and you know what you're saying as you're speaking in tongues. You still will not know what you're saying as you're speaking in tongues. But when you give the interpretation, those words now will make known what you did speak when you were speaking in tongues, okay? The interpretation makes that known, but it's not a mental understanding or knowing of what you're saying in tongues while you're speaking. You'll never get that. You will never understand what you're saying when you speak in tongues. But when you begin to interpret those words, you will understand, and they will give the gist of what you had spoken in tongues. And it is not necessarily a word-by-word translation. It could be, but not necessarily. Because in most languages, when you translate from one to another, it's not just a direct decoding of this word, and this language means this word in that language all the time, and you just crack the code, right? From Greek to English, the meaning of the word will depend many times on the context of what is being spoken of to understand it. A given word can have more than one meaning. So a word can be interpreted by a phrase sometimes, or one word by another similar word, to give the gist, to give the sense of what was being spoken. So it's not necessarily a word-by-word decoding of what was spoken in tongues. It will make known the essence of what was spoken in tongues in the language that you're speaking, in our case, English. It is not to be done privately when all alone. The speaking in tongues may, but not the interpretation. So don't practice it when you're by yourself. It won't be the genuine thing, okay? You don't want to practice, say, speaking in tongues and then making up a message. You want to practice speaking in tongues and having the message given to you by God, and that's only going to happen when you're in the presence of other believers, because you're speaking to men, edification, exhortation, and comfort. So don't practice the interpretation when you're all alone, or prophecy when you're all alone, but in a meeting with other believers. And if you want to practice, then let your fellowship leader know, or if you're the fellowship leader and you know somebody else needs the practice, then schedule a meeting where there's just a few of you and you practice interpretation of tongues, okay? Maybe go over some of these things that we're talking about today to help them, and then practice doing it. And then that person will be ready to do it in the larger group. Now, it's also not to be done out in public in the street with a bunch of unbelievers, okay? Because the message is going to be edification, exhortation, and comfort to those that already do believe in Jesus Christ, right? So you're not going to just go out on the street or hop on the bus and then just speak in tongues and interpret and expect it to be a message that's addressed to everybody there. That's not what it's designed for. It's in the church, in the assembled group of believers in Jesus Christ, is the appropriate place for it to be done. So you don't want to go out and say, hey, everybody, look what I can do, and speak in tongues and interpret, and they'll scratch their heads, and what's that all about? So keep it to the church, the assembled group of believers. It is not an interpretation of what someone else has spoken in tongues. It's an interpretation of what you have just spoken in tongues. It's not a message that will tear down, discourage, or disturb, or confuse the hearers. It's not intended to do that, but it's intended to edify, exhort, and comfort. It is not to be done just whenever someone feels like doing it, but decently and in order at an appropriate time in a meeting of other believers. And it is not a premeditated message that you think of ahead of time and say, oh, I can't wait to speak in tongues and interpret because I'm going to say this. You know, you clear your mind of what it is, but God will work with what you do know. He will give you the words to speak as you're speaking it. Don't premeditate it, because the utterance is going to be given to you as you are speaking. Now, some practical keys. Come to the meeting with a desire to edify the other believers. Whether you're going to speak in tongues or not, intend to edify everybody. Okay? Say, that's your goal. I want to build people up. Anybody that I talk to, anybody I come in contact with, I want to build them up. One of the ways you can do it is to speak in tongues and interpret, or give a word of prophecy. But let that be your desire. Don't come to the meeting dreading being called on because you don't want to do it. Okay? If you don't want to be called on, you could quietly tell the person leading the meeting, say, don't call on me today, and I'm not ready to do that. But God's desire for all of us is that we all get together to edify one another. So build that desire. Say, okay, I want to edify the others. This is one of the ways I can do it. And I'm excited about that. If I don't get to do it, that's no problem. I'll edify people in other ways, but I would love to get up and speak in tongues and interpret or prophesy to build everybody else up. And then rather than have your mind on doing it right, just have it on the love. You love God. You love the Lord Jesus Christ. You love the people that are here. And think about the love that you have for them, because that's what chapter 13 told us, right? Do it in love. And then there's a benefit for everybody, those that are hearing it and those that are contributing to it. So keep your mind on the edifying and the love. Don't determine ahead of time what you're going to say. Stay peaceful. Stay peaceful about it. Not worried about whether you're going to do it right, but be confident. Be confident that God will give you the words at the appropriate time, that he will give you a complete message, that the words will be there when you open your mouth to speak. Okay? God will. He knows that you're going to speak in tongues and interpret. He will give you the appropriate words. He's right there. He's not going to ignore you when you're speaking in tongues and interpreting. He's right there. He's giving you the utterance every time. He's giving you the utterance when you're all by yourself speaking in tongues. He's going to give you the utterance when you speak in tongues and interpret. This is the real thing, okay? This is the real thing. This is what they did in the first century. God will give it to you. Be confident that he will. If you're not confident, tell yourself, I am confident. What you tell yourself makes a big difference sometimes. If you tell yourself, oh, I'm going to be so embarrassed, then what's in your mind? I'm afraid of being embarrassed. But if you say, no, I'm confident that God's going to give me the words. I love these people. I really want to edify them, and I know that this will. So talk to yourself in the right way. And then after speaking tongues for a short time, speak the first English words that come to your mind. Keep going until the message is complete. Speak loudly enough for everyone in the room to hear you, as well as anyone that might be listening in on a Zoom meeting. They didn't have that to deal with in the first century. We didn't have this to deal with a few years ago, right? But now we have Zoom meetings. If you're at one end of the room and the microphone or the iPhone or the laptop is at the other end of the room, speak loud enough that it will pick you up so that the people that are logged in can hear what you're saying. Because if they can't hear what you're saying, they won't receive the edifying from the message, right? So speak up. As Reverend Sid Waite would say, speak stentoriously, means out loud so everybody can hear you. That's the wonderful word, stentoriously. Now, also the message may be from God, like in the first person, where as if God himself is speaking, I, the Lord thy God, like a father addressing his children. Okay? So when you speak in tongues and interpret, that message might be in the first person that you're speaking as if God himself is speaking, or it could be for God, meaning the Lord thy God, he has called you. Your father loves you. Something along those lines. But you could be speaking on behalf of God, for God, or you can be speaking as if God himself is speaking. Okay? So it's from God or for God would be the way the message is addressed, but it's always going to be addressed to those that are present. Now, listen to the words you are saying as you're speaking, the interpretation, so that you are also edified along with everybody else. So as the words are coming out of your mouth, listen to them and receive the edification. And then everybody else should be as well. Do your best to say only the words that God inspires you to speak rather than your own thoughts. So try not to chuck in your favorite phrases and things that you might say out of habit. Just do your best to say only what God gives you. That's what's going to really edify everybody. The things that you think of that you think would be really cool to say, they're not going to hit the mark the same way as saying exactly what God gives you to say. That's the discipline. That's how you excel to the edifying of the church, by disciplining your mind to say only what God gives you to say and say everything that God gives you to say. Strive for accuracy in that. So you may practice tongues with interpretation with other believers, but not by yourself. If all alone, you're not speaking unto men, and that's why you don't practice by yourself. When someone else is speaking in tongues and interpreting or prophesying, listen carefully, actively, intently, and listen for the edification, the words that build you up. Listen for the exhortation, the words that encourage you to do something. And listen for the comfort, things that will just give you that sense of well-being from the message. They're all going to be in there, so listen for it so that you can receive it for yourself. God's having it spoken. He wants everyone hearing it to get built up by it. So listen closely and then try to remember what you hear. Maybe repeat it to yourself after you hear it. Now, when someone else is speaking in tongues out loud before they interpret, it's a good thing to be speaking in tongues yourself silently. You can speak in tongues for that person. You can just be speaking in tongues because there's nothing else to listen to in English. So speak in tongues. But do it silently at that time while the other person's speaking in tongues. But when they start speaking in English, then you just listen. Speaking in tongues much through the day, every day, is very beneficial in itself for many reasons, but it also helps you to be confident when you have an opportunity to speak in tongues and interpret. So don't do it just for this reason, but speak in tongues a lot, all day long. It's good for many things. But the more you speak in tongues in your private prayer life, the more confident then that you can be when you're speaking in tongues to interpret. Also, reading and studying and believing the scriptures, especially the epistles that are addressed to the believers in Christ, is beneficial in itself for many reasons, but it also gives you a base of understanding from which God may inspire you to speak. Okay? And just one closing comment here is that you understand that interpretation of tongues is one of the ways that God has given us as believers in Christ to edify one another. It's not the only way to edify one another, but it is one of the ways, and it's a very effective way to edify one another. But say you come to a meeting, and maybe there's a dozen of you there, only a few are going to be called on to speak in tongues and interpret, right? Does that mean you don't get to edify the other believers that day? No, there's other ways. What you say to people, the way you treat people, the respect that you show one another, the love that you show in what you do and in everything that you say, that counts. That does something. Because remember, we saw at the end of 1 Corinthians 14:26, the last phrase is, "Let all things be done unto edifying." So this was said as a reproof because there was a lot of confusion, so much going on. But taken all by itself, let all things be done unto edifying. Let everything that you do in the presence of other believers be edifying to them. You don't want to come into the group and bring everybody down. You don't want to come in and insult people or just be complaining about stuff. If you have a problem, maybe go to one person and talk to them about it. But you don't have to address the whole group about how awful you think everything is or what a jerk that person is or, you know, all that stuff. Let everything be done unto edifying, everything that you do. If someone else is not edifying, then pray for that person and maybe build them up. Do something for them. Another verse that talks about edifying in all things is Ephesians chapter 4. Actually, there's a couple of verses. There's verse 16. Verse 16 talks about Christ being the head from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So everybody gets to edify everybody else. And then verse 29 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. So just let that never happen. No corrupt communication, that which is going to tear down or boil a person. Let it not proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, to the use of what? Edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. So interpretation of tongues is one way that we can edify the others, but just let that be one of many things that you do whenever you're in contact with believers to build them up. They should be better off having had contact with you than before they did. Okay? Make that your goal. Build everybody up. Do whatever you can. Every word that you speak, everything that you do to build up the others that you're with. Okay? So, God bless everybody. Thanks for participating tonight.